continuing from last week, a teaching on the subject of your new identity. And today's message is titled, Your New Identity is the New You. And this is part two. Now, as a text we use in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, which says, verse 16, therefore, from now on, we don't regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more. So just as we go on into the word of God, endeavoring to get a greater comprehension and understanding of who we are in Christ, and then that we might be able to walk that out, walk in the spirit, walk in accordance and in harmony and in uprightness and in agreement with the reality of who we are in Christ. In order to grasp and to see who we are in Christ, we must not see from the natural, but we must see from the spiritual. You must not know yourself as you do in the natural mirror based on your physical attributes and your humanity. But rather, we must look into the mirror of the Word of God so that we can see ourselves after the Spirit. For us to walk in the reality of who we are and to be established in it, it is necessary that we do not know ourselves even after the flesh, not to mention one another. But we must know ourselves after the Spirit. So to that end, we believe that the anointing of God opened up of our eyes so that we can see who we are in the Spirit. And then we will bind ourselves to who we are in the Spirit, to who we see ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God, so that even when we walk away from that mirror, we will not be forgetful hearers. We will not forget what we saw. We will not forget the reality of who we are, but we will continue and walk in the reality of what He has revealed as to who it is we are. For as we do so, the Word of God declares that we shall prosper in all our ways. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. He is a new being that never existed before. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God. There is nothing within this new man's DNA and in this new man's makeup that is not of God. Everything that is within him is of God. Hallelujah. He does not have a history that is not of God. He does not have a genealogy that is not of God. Everything that is within him. He does not have a temperament that is not of God. He is God. He is wall to wall filled with the Spirit of God. He is wall to wall DNA God. Infused with it. He is complete in Christ, wall to wall. Everything that is in him. Behold, all things have become new. Not some, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And so the Spirit of God wants us to come into a place where we can see all those things and see that everything is of God. And be filled with a consciousness therein. And any consciousness outside of that is not who we are. And is not what we are to allow to be engrafted into us. But rather, we are to free ourselves. And as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, we are to strip off of ourselves the old man. His conversation, his way of being, his way of thinking. We are to strip all those things off and be renewed in the spirit of our mind so that we function and we think and we conduct ourselves in harmony with the reality of who we are. We're in this new man. Behold, all things have become new and all things are of God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Colossians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 11 to 15. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision that was made without hands. It was done by the Spirit of God supernaturally and divinely. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. And then here is this phrase, buried with him, buried with him, buried with him in baptism, buried with him in baptism. We're not just talking about dying with him or resurrected with him or being ascended with him or being washed by his blood. We are talking about being buried with him by baptism. Well, why baptism? Because the very essence of baptism is an immersion, or even more accurately, a more accurate picture of the word baptism is to be tie-dyed. It is to be tie-dyed together so that you are so yoked together. It's like you just, I mean, the fabrics and the dyes are so interwoven that you cannot separate them. So you are tie-dyed, yes, into his death. You know, the scripture is going to say in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, know ye not that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you were also baptized into his death. And you were buried with him by baptism. And you were also resurrected with him and ascended with him. But here we're talking about the fact that you were baptized. You were baptized and buried with him. Say buried with him. All right, hold that thought because we're going to come back. That's very, very important. In fact, the reason that thought is so very, very important, quite frankly, is because in that burial, that immersion, that going underwater, that not just being dead, but disappearing, that burial is for the purpose for you to know it's gone, it's done. Don't think about it anymore. All those stuff from the old man, his way of being, his way of thinking, and all that was connected to him, not only did it come to an end in burial, in death, but there was also burial so that you and I can be free from the consciousness and the awareness of him and those things that were connected to him. That's why this issue of burial is significant. Are you with me? Because you see, while we, our thinking and our awareness is still consumed with the grave clothes of the old man, his attitudes, his history, his genealogy, his humanity, the things he did or didn't do wrong, while our consciousness and our conscience is affected by those things, we cannot walk in faith properly because the mystery of faith lies in a pure conscience. While our consciousness is absorbed with those things, even though you are a new creation, you aren't able to walk upright in that new creation. It says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, that we are to, to live or to let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. In other words, let it be consistent with the gospel. Let it be in harmony with the gospel. Well, the gospel is the good news that Jesus came so that you, the old man, is dead, buried, and you've been resurrected with Christ. That's the gospel. The gospel is Christ living in you, the hope of glory. Are you with me? So it says in Philippians 1 verse 27 that we are to walk upright and in harmony in the reality and in the truth of this gospel. Galatians 2:14 talks about walking upright. Philippians talk about letting your conversation, your thinking, your believing, your speaking, your actions, your attitude, let it be consistent with the truth of the gospel. It is Christ living in you now. Let it be consistent with the truth of the gospel. It's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that liveth in you. Let it be consistent with the gospel that you have been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. You are now the Son of the living God. You have got the same. You've got all kinds of, you've got citizen rights. Let your thinking, your believing, your speaking, your attitudes. So when if your consciousness and your thinking and your awareness is still being infiltrated by the knowledge of the old man and the things connected to him, then you cannot walk upright in the reality of your new identity and who you really are. That is why this is important. Now, we're going to get there pretty soon, how to become established in this new identity. Because as we do, victory, manifestations of the goodness of God and the glory of God will become common. We should get there in another 2 weeks. Amen? But nevertheless, it's just come up right now. So we are buried with him in baptism, in which you also, okay. Let me flip to 1 Peter chapter 5, just to, since we're on this conscience, let's work it out. Are you with me? Say, I need my conscience the way God designed it. I need my conscience to be free from every dead work, from every sense of violation, from every sense of separation from God. I need a conscience that is functional in righteousness. Amen? Say this with me. I want to be conscious and continually aware of who I am in Christ and who is in me and what belongs to me. I need to live here. That needs to be my thinking. I came across something very recently that I want to go back and dig up a little bit. And it was from a Christian person that is qualified in various areas, and they were using some sets of terminologies which I didn't capture. I'd like to go back and capture them. But in what they were communicating, they were pointing out how we are made and how we are wired so that your brain wants your actions to be in line with how you think. And therefore, if you're thinking wrong, if you're thinking I've been abused, I've been molested, I've been mistreated, I am worthless, then your actions will soon follow that. And your brain will be comfortable with it because your brain is looking for the easy way out. And all your brain wants to do is to have your actions to line up with your thinking. Now, scripturally, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Watch how you think, because your thinking will determine your future. And that's because it will determine your actions. And it is your actions that bring forth fruit. Are you with me? So it is therefore, so when our thinking is not accurate, or let me flip it all the way. When our thinking is in agreement with our true identity, then our actions will follow. When our thinking is in agreement with the word of God and our mind is renewed accordingly, then the actions and the fruit will follow. Are you with me? You know, sometimes we try to change our actions and then hope that we change our thinking. It's the other way around. Amen? So it is important for us to get a hold of the reality of our true identity, then think accordingly, because then the actions will follow. And as we will come to discover very shortly in the next little while, in the next few weeks, the reality of our true identity is such that all it is such liberty. You see what Jesus has accomplished. Remember, he said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Well, who is the one that was set free and free indeed? It's that born-again person on the inside. It is that new identity. He has absolute freedom and liberty. But we got to get him to the outside. We got to walk in him. Amen? And this issue of the conscience and the consciousness and your thinking and your awareness can cause you to be established in the old or in the new. In the old nature or in the new nature. It can cause you to be established and to be anchored wherever you're anchored. Well, we want to be anchored in God. We want to be anchored in righteousness. We want to be anchored in the nature of God. We want to be anchored in Christ. Do we not? So anyway, so let me just sprinkle this conscience a little bit more with the blood and with the truth. First Peter chapter 3, verse 20. says that in the former times they were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is to say, 8 souls, were saved through the water. But there is also an antitype. There is also a picture here. There is also a type, a typology. There is also a image that the God is trying to communicate to us, a figure, so to speak, a type, a shadow. There is also that which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the flesh, of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. The answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, when you were resurrected, when the old man died and he was buried, him and all of his consciousness, all that awareness of him and his stuff, God died and was buried. And when you were resurrected, you got a brand new conscience that was washed by the blood of Jesus, purged from every sense of misdeed, every sense of violation against God, purged so that your only confidence, your only awareness is God, and the way of being in harmony with Him. Your only consciousness, this is God and Him and who you are on the inside. So you see, in this new resurrection, you have an absolutely new conscience. Amen. All right. Let me go back to Colossians chapter 2. Let me read it all again from verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, and you are buried with him in baptism. Remember, buried what? So that our consciousness could be changed. In which you also were raised with him through the faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. You were also raised up with him. You were also raised up with him by the faith of the operation of God. So, in this death and burial, the old is gone. It is, and the issue of burial is also the sense of finality. So that the corpse isn't just sitting there, well, I shouldn't say smiling, but the corpse is gotten rid of and it is buried. The old man is buried with all of his stuff. It's gone. Say it's gone. So the consciousness, the awareness, the thoughts of that which is old, they are no more. And therefore, they don't have a voice. When they speak, you don't listen. When they speak, you don't hear. And the truth of the matter is that this is the truth. Now capture this. When your past, or what somebody think about you, what somebody said, whatever happened to you, the evil, bad, good experiences, whatever they are. The truth is, now listen to this, your born again spirit, that new man that is in Christ, that is only conscious of God, that lives inside of him, pleasing God, that is only conscious of these every good thing that is in him, that is in Christ, that is all new. This new man that is living at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, in the throne of God, he does not hear the voice of the enemy or the voice of circumstances or the voice of history or any other voice. He does not hear it. My sheep hear my voice. That's all he hears. That's all he hears. And how could he hear the voice of the devil if he is sitting at the Father's right hand in heavenly places, in the holiest of holies, in the throne of God? How could he hear the devil? Has not the devil been cast down? So what I'm saying is, and I know this might sound like a stretch, but man, I'm just telling you the truth. Because the whole thing is, we've got to function here. Is functioning out of this new man, recognizing his truth, and then as the truth is in Christ, as we function in that truth, then when we hear the voice of history, when we hear the voice of the old man, when we hear the voice of the enemy with his accusation, when we hear what somebody said when you were young, that is trying to put you in a box. When we hear, is that when we hear that voice, we say, I don't hear that voice. I'm dead to that voice. That voice is dead to me. In other words, we have no reaction to it whatsoever. You know why? Because the reaction, if we react from the flesh, yeah, we'll react. There is no reaction. All we do is we respond. From where? From who we are in Christ. Who are we? We respond from the love of God. So that person that abused you, that person that misaligned you, that person that mistreated you, that person that violated you, that person that betrayed you. From the natural, when they show up, first of all, I want to turn away from them, or I want to slap them, or I want to wish them evil. But guess what? That would be my reaction. But because I'm operating from this new nature, this new man, where the love of God has been shed abroad in his heart, where he is the righteousness of God in Christ, where he says, Father, forgive them, they don't even know what they have done. Where I operate from this nature that says, Father, even though they have done all that they did, yet nevertheless, I impute righteousness to them. And even those evil things that they did, Father, I see them after the Spirit, and I, as opposed to seeing them after their deeds. Are you with me? And then what happened? This unlovable person, as I am functioning from my new nature, I am now able to love them. I am now able to bless them, bless my enemies, pray for them that despitefully use me and persecute me. I am now able to stand in the gap for them. I am now able to prefer. Can you see himself happening here? But what's that? That is not reacting. That is responding. Functioning from where? The nature of God in you. Amen? This is just how it's going. Amen? I'm supposed to be talking about who we are, but it seems like I'm talking about the functioning. And I'm talking about how do we do this. And I'm indirectly, without, even though we're not there yet, talking about how we are to get into that place. And how we are to be anchored in that new man. How we are to walk upright in that new man. How we are to so get a hold of him. That, oh, the liberty that comes. Oh, I'm telling you, when you are not concerned about what somebody else thinks, when you are not even concerned about your own self, that's freedom. Amen? Okay, all right, I better accept this. All right, so no more voice, no more authority. They don't have no authority. Our conscience is purged. It says in Colossians chapter 3, if you were raised up together with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and you are seated with him. Set your mind, your thoughts, your thinking, keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Set your heart there. Everything, it all, the old you, the old life, all of that stuff ended in death, and it was finalized in burial. So take your thoughts off for that, and let your thoughts be set on the reality and the newness of life and where you are. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Know ye not that as many of you have been baptized since Christ were baptized into death? And you were buried with him by baptism unto death. And then it says, I would think it would say, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, you were raised up together with him. And that is the truth. But it actually says, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, you ought to walk in the newness of life. In other words, then, you ought to walk in this newness of life. Why? Because you were crucified with Christ. You were buried with him. You are buried with him. You died with him. The old man is dead and gone and finished. Consciousness of his is gone. Now here you are, resurrected with Christ. You now have a new life. Walk in that newness of life. Can you see that? Amen? Hallelujah. Having your conscience purged from an evil conscience. It says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Paul says, you know what, this issue of the conscience is so important to me. I mean, after all, I got 13 epistles I need to write. I got a lot of work to do. and I can't, and I need to be successful. I got to finish the assignment that the Lord has given me to do. So Paul says, this conscience stuff is so important to me that listen to this. Acts 24, verse 16, Paul says, I exercise myself to maintain a conscience that is void of offense before God and men. Paul says, I am diligent concerning this matter. I am diligent concerning this matter, protecting my conscience and maintaining that conscience that has been purged by blood, that conscience that is alive unto God by resurrection. All right? And Paul will tell you in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, the mystery of faith lies in a pure conscience. Are you with me? Many faith suffer shipwreck. Why? Because of that conscience. Because of the voice of history, the voice of the failure, because of what somebody said about them, or because of the experiences they've had in life, because of stuff that comes off of that old man that Jesus died to put an end to, buried to get rid of. Are you with me? Amen? Say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay, so the consciousness, the awareness, the thoughts, the thought processes from that old man and everything that was attached to him ended in death and burial. But there's a new conscience. Say, new conscience. And this new creation man is conscious and aware of who he is. Who is in him? God is in him. What he has. And he is not conscious. He is not conscious of thinking or being consumed with what he is not. Does that make sense? A lot of negatives in there. I'll say it again. This new creation man, this new person on the inside of you, he is not conscious of thinking or consumed with what he is not. And that is the reason why he's anxious for nothing. That is the reason why the joy of the Lord is his strength. His joy is not based on what's happening. His joy is part of his nature. That is why he can rejoice always. That is why he has a supernatural divine hope. Even when circumstances are contrary, he has a hope that comes from God, that proceeds from the presence of God, from the throne of God. Amen? He has all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Well, why? Because after all, remember? All things have become new. And all things are of God. Amen? He acknowledges that Christ is alive within him. You see how he's thinking? This is his thinking. This is his awareness. This is his consciousness. He acknowledges that Christ is his life. Colossians 3 verse 3 says, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. He's conscious. Christ is in me. And so, instead of looking at the circumstances and the environment and looking over his shoulder and looking at the background, and looking at the history, and listening to what somebody got to say. No, 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 what's he doing? He is looking on to Jesus. He is looking not at the things that are seen, but he is looking at the things that are not seen. He is looking to the person of Christ. His focus is on who Jesus is, and who Jesus is in him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. His delight is in the law of God and in the law of the Lord. He delights in the law of God after the inner man. The old human identities is who he is not. The old human identities is who he is not. Not. And remember, he's not conscious of what he's not. He's conscious of what he is. So it says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, how that Jesus, by his shed blood, has redeemed us out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. What does that mean? Out of every kindred. That means every every geological claims of humanity. You know, the genealogy or whatever. That's gone. You've been redeemed out of that. You see, if you don't know that, then you're going to receive all those stuff that comes through the genes rather than changing it with the word of the living God. I know I met somebody a little while ago that was 72 years old, and he was telling me, he was getting, literally telling me he's going to die by the time he's 74, because this was when his father died. This is when the other one died. Well, I listened to him, and I said, you know, my brother, and he's a pastor. I said, if you don't correct that, and you don't correct your thinking, and you don't get it straightened out, then you are going to die in another 2 years. And then I begin to show him what the Word of God actually says about it and share some things with him. Why? He was believing and he was allowing himself to be defined by his genealogy. Well, Christ has redeemed us from that, allowing his want to be defined by what is hereditary in the family. We don't deny that which is hereditary exists, but we deny its right to exist in us because we are a new creation. And we've got a blood transfusion from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are partakers of his body and of his flesh and of his blood. Oh, there's a message that I have that has to do with me, us being members of his body. And that oneness. Man, I was just trying to think here. If it wasn't, you know, that's enough. Anyway, but it's going to come. It's going to come out in the next couple of weeks. Amen. But anyway, we're redeemed out of every kindred. We're redeemed out of every tongue. What do you mean tongue? Language, culture, social norms. This is my background. This is my culture. This is how we did it in my society, how I grew up. We are redeemed from that. Those things do not define this new man. They don't define him. They have got nothing to do with him. They don't have any, they don't define him. They don't limit him. People, redeemed from people. What do you mean people? People group. Well, they're associations. You know, I'm part of the engineering society. Or you know, I was one of the leaders in the Boy Scouts or whatever the case is. I'm from this fraternity. Those identifications, those human identifications, you're redeemed out of it. That has nothing. That's not the knowledge of the new man. That means you got to shut it down. You don't live there. Nation. Redeemed out of every nation. Ethnicity. Oh, I'm black. Oh, I'm white. Oh, I'm brown. Oh, I'm yellow. This is my background. You know, people, like, I don't want to go into the politics, but right now, there's some political things happening, and people are believers are getting sucked into it. And they shouldn't. Why shouldn't they? Because we represent the kingdom of God. My identification is not black or white. It's not even Canadian or non-Canadian. Those are not the priority. Whose cause are you representing? I am representing the name of the Lord. We are in the kingdom of God's side. Our concern is the heart of God. Seek and save that which is lost. Get people born into the kingdom of God. Let the kingdom be expanded. Let those that are in the kingdom become established. The heart of God. That's our heart. That's our responsibility. Not to take sides, who's right, who's wrong, and this side and that side. Hey, that's not us. Say, that's not me. I'm a new creation. I've got a new identity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this new man is not underneath the claims of history. Old things have what? Old things have passed away. So what should you do? Forget those things which are behind. Don't remember the former things. Galatians chapter 3, 27 and 28 says that this new man, he has been baptized. He has been immersed into Christ and has put on Christ. He has put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek, neither slave or free. There is neither male nor female. I mean, like, talk about God really trying to make a point. Don't be defined by your humanity. You're not defined by whether you're male or female. Not in the kingdom of God, you don't. Amen? Neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. This new creation man is very clear about one thing. Forget those things which are behind. Paul says, this one thing I do. Remember? Okay. And Paul, in other words, Paul says, there's some things I'm still believing, I'm still looking for revelation, that I might apprehend that for which he has apprehended me. But is this one thing I'm clear about? I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to the things which are before. Doesn't it say that? So this new man is clear about one thing. He is clear about who he is not. He is not the product of the will of man. He is not the product of circumstances. He is not the product of genealogy, of education, of society, of humanity. He is not defined or limited by any of those things. He is born of God. His new life began in resurrection, and the old ended in burial. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. That means God has born again. To what? To a living hope. Oh, one that is from heaven. Born again to a living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's when this new creation life that you have began. You are. He is. The new creation man is a product of resurrection, not his environment, not his background, not his history, not his humanity, not his genealogy, not the opinions or the will of man. He is the product of the very sacrifice of Christ. For by one offering, Jesus has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Forever, completely cleansed, consecrated, and made holy. That man on the inside is perfectly holy, created in righteousness and true holiness. That's your new identity. This new identity, this new creation, is God's workmanship. Yes. Remember the scripture says you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew. What does that mean? It means we are God's handiwork, but we are God's offspring. You are God's offspring, and you are born of his spirit. You are born of his spirit. You are born of his word. Say, I'm born of God. First Epistle of John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Behold what manner of love, oh, that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, but they didn't know him either. They thought he was just a carpenter son. Beloved, now, say now. When is now? Now are we the children of God. And it does not yet appear. It is not yet revealed. Oh, we are still that diamond in the rough. We are still covered up. It hasn't come forth. It isn't fully manifested. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But this we know. We know. We know. We know. What do we know? We know that when he, Christ, is unveiled, we shall see him as he is. You see, we're not talking about Jesus' return. Christ is in you. And when he is unveiled, when that Christ inside of you begins to become unveiled, when you can begin to see who he is, when you can begin to see his righteousness, see his authority, see his power, that's when you begin to see who you are. That's what it is, looks like in the mirror of the word of God. When you behold the glory of the Lord, you are seeing in the mirror of the word of God the reflection of what is standing before it, and that's the new creation that you are. When he shall appear, when he is unveiled, that's when we shall be up. That's when we will see who we are. Christ himself is your life. And when he shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Amen? Hallelujah. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Say that with me. I am what I am. Say it with me. I am who I am, says I am. I am who I am, says I am. God is I am. So you are who I am, says you are. Your new life began in resurrection. It came by resurrection. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 says, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he made you alive. He quickened you and made you alive together with Christ. You were born again in resurrection. In resurrection is where that new life began. Right? So your new life came by resurrection. And your new position. Oh, don't see yourself sitting in the chair. Don't see yourself like a grasshopper. Don't see yourself walking in the dirt. See yourself seated at the Father's right hand in the throne of God before his presence continually. By ascension, your new position came by ascension when you were raised up together with Christ and God made you to sit together with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 verse 6. And that's where you live. God, when the same power that raised Jesus from the dead raised you from the dead and planted you in him and made you to sit together. That power that raised him up far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, you were raised up at the same time together with him with that same power. No wonder the scripture says, oh, that we might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power that dwells within us. It's the same power. It's the same power. And it is that same power and an anointing that dwells on the inside of you that you can get it released and it will heal your mortal body. It will drive sickness out. That power. Say that power. What am I saying? Let us awake to our new identity. Who we are in Christ. And let the thinking and the mind of that new identity take you over. Conscious of who you are, whose you are, your possessions, what belongs to you. You've got an awesome inheritance. Do you know that? The scripture says God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And with that faith that God has given unto you, you are able to receive whatever Jesus did for you with that faith that God has given unto you. Don't think that you don't have faith. That's a lie. That's a deception. That's not what the word of God says. God said he's dealt you the same measure of faith. God says that he has given unto you the gift of faith. It is not of works as any man should boast. God said he's given you like precious faith as all the apostles. That faith wherein you are able to believe according as it is written and speak according as it is written. Say, I got it. Hallelujah. Now you see in this place where you are ascended to, when Jesus ascended and he took his blood to the throne of God, and God received it and God received that sacrifice, and God said, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And God said to Jesus, I make you an heir of all things. And I give you a most excellent name. But you see, we were with him. And we were raised up with him. We were made to sit together with him. And when God was talking to him, he was talking to us. And guess what? Even as Jesus was made heir of all things, we are also made joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God. Romans 8 verse 17. When? Right there and right then and right in that place. So in that place of ascension at the throne of God, you were blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Say, I got it. In that place is where God gave you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Say, I got it. That is the reality. That is just a glimpse into the unsearchable riches of Christ that belong to us. So you see, What does that do for cult poverty mindset? What does that do concerning lack? What does that do? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What does it do about that kind of thinking? Oh, you don't even take that thought and say it. Instead, you just pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these things are going to be added onto you. Christ in you becomes a confident expectation of manifestation and fulfillment. Are you with me? Say, I thank God for my new identity. Hallelujah. So, there is that awareness. When he gave you Jesus, he gave you all things. All of the inheritance is yours, and it became yours in ascension. So your new life came by resurrection, and you are what you are by the grace of God. Say, God did this. I am who I am, says I am. God, this is grace. Man, you didn't earn any of this. And this is who you are. This is what you got. God is living inside of you. Oh, there is a verse of scripture, Mashaka, where Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 25, that part of his assignment. Oh, I'm hearing two scriptures at the same time. But Colossians 1, 25, Paul said, part of his assignment. Oh, keep hearing the other one. I guess I better say it, at least move it aside. I'm also here in Ephesians 3, verse 9. Where Paul says, look, my assignment and part of my responsibility is to get men to see what is their fellowship in this mystery. For get men to see and understand what is their part and their participation and their share in this mystery, which is Christ, the person in you, the hope of glory. And so in Colossians 1:25, Paul says, here's my assignment. And it goes something like this. And he says it's to fulfill the word of God. That the word of God will be fulfilled in you. And at first when you think of that, you will think of it as, oh, that the promises of God will be fulfilled in your life. And that the scriptures, will, you know, you will see them fulfilled. And I'm sure there is an application there. But more important than that, it is talking about this fact. The life of God, Jesus is the word. He is saying that I have an assignment. And here is my assignment that God has given unto me to make known and to bring believers into the fellowship and to this understanding and this revelation that they would know. And it would become fulfilled in their lives. The very life of that word, the very life of Christ, that would be fulfilled. In other words, he says that I've got an assignment. My responsibility is to so minister the word of God to you. It is to so communicate that life of Christ that is yours, that is to be living in you, might become real and it might become a fulfillment and an experiential reality. God, Christ, lives in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Says, I am who God says I am. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So your new life came by resurrection, and you are what you are by the grace of God. Your consciousness is not in the old things, they are passed away. But behold, your consciousness is here. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Reading from verse 9. God who has saved us and called us, spoken things concerning you particularly. Oh, there are things about your life that is different to everyone else that God spoke about you before he ever created anything. About you personally, you Anna, is there an Anna in the house? There are certain things God spoke about you personally that he called, that he uttered before the foundation of the world that you are supposed to now walk in. Anyway, get back over here. So he saved you, called you, with a holy calling, not according to your works, but is according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ when? Before time began. Hold that thought. But it has now been revealed or unveiled and is now being manifest, coming to the surface by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. That is why you got to have that Christ in you unveiled, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose you, just as he chose us in him, when? Before the world began. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Yes. Before the foundation of the world. No. What is that? What does all that mean? You are right now, when you got born again, you know what happened? And that new life began in resurrection. God reconnected you to his original plan that he had for you from before the foundation of the world. You're not an accident. You are, right now, you are exactly God's design from the foundation of the world that has now come into being. Say, I'm here. Say, I'm here. This, you are God's design that he had from before the foundation of the world. You are God's dream that has come to pass. Say, I am God's dream. I am God's dream fulfilled. Amen. That is why, you know, it also says that you are the joy and the rejoicing of his heart, because you really are. You are the joy that was set before the cross. Even when Jesus was on that cross going through all that he was going through, he went through it because he saw you. You are the joy that was beyond that cross. You are God's dream fulfilled. And now, here you are. You are also, remember, you raised up, you're seated in heavenly place in Christ before the throne of God, the holiest of holies. Right now, you are living in the place of God's prophetic design. Oh, man, you know, I'll throw this in here. I feel free today that because I know I'm not going to finish the message, so I might as well have fun. Because when time is up, we're done. Because I'm not getting to the end, I know that. But do you know in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13 and 14, do you know that was God prophesying? When God says, you know what? My children, they're going to be taught by the Lord. And great shall be their peace. My children, they're going to be established in righteousness. And they're going to be far from oppression, because they shall not fear. And from torment, it will not come anywhere near them. Because their righteousness is of me. And this is that was God prophesying. So God prophesied that you are going to sit in heavenly places, in Christ, at his right hand, in the new and living way, and function from his throne. So you are in the place of God's prophetic design. Not only are you the fulfillment of his dream, according to what he had designed from the foundation of the world, but you are in that place. Say, I'm right here. I'm right where God. God knows you. Not only are you not an accident, but do you know your steps are ordered of the Lord? Oh, what am I going to do next? He's ordered it already. So don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. You, here you are. In that prophetic design, you're in the holiest of holies, you're in the throne of God, you are the Father's right hand. This is the place that Jesus talked about when he says, I'm going to go and I'll do what? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he says, I'm going to prepare the place that where I am, you're going to be here also? Right here, in me, at the Father's right hand. Say, I'm there. Say, I'm there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The new creation that you are has laid a hold, has gotten a hold of eternal life, to which you are called. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Verse 12. It says, fight. Fight, say fight. Fight. Say fight. Fight the good fight of faith, that you might lay a hold of eternal life. Eternal life is the very nature of God. The life that God had ordained for you and designed for you from the foundation of the world. But it says, fight the good fight of faith, that you might lay a hold of that life. I'm going to rabbit trail a little bit, and I'll take this rabbit trail, and then I'm probably going to end on this rabbit trail. Have we ever heard? We've heard about the whole armor of God, have we not? All right. And we are told that we should take this shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the devil. I'm going to turn there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. You see, okay, let me just read it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 10. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a war taking place. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places, in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor. Take the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your waist and your loins girt about with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God praying always. Now, here's what I want us to see. Fight the good fight of faith that you might lay hold on that eternal life. If you don't fight this fight of faith, even though that eternal life is yours, and even though you have it in your born-again spirit, you're not going to lay hold of it. You're not going to function in it like you should. This very insight into this, what we call the whole armor of God, is actually, it is actually, when we look at it closely, it actually reveals the strategies and the schemes and the plots that the enemy has. It actually reveals what the devil has, how he operates. Let's glance it. For instance, it tells you, well, it says there's this warfare happening and so on and so forth. And then it says, take the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. And remember, he's going to say, above all, take the shield of faith. Be girt about with truth. Make sure, because in other words, then the devil wants to steal truth. Truth is the reality of who Jesus is. He don't want you to get a hold of that. Truth is the reality of your new identity. He wants to separate you from the truth of who you are. Truth is what Jesus has finished. He don't want you to function and know Jesus finished this. He finished that. The old man is dead, gone. That stuff is not you anymore. What Jesus is doing and speaking in you, he wants you to not get a hold of truth, because he's a deceiver. Remember how he was trying to tell Jesus, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, what was that about? He's trying to separate him from the truth of who is it, from his true identity. And it says, have on the breastplate of righteousness. That tells you something about it. He don't want you to function in righteousness. He don't want you to operate in oneness with God. He don't want you to operate in your authority. He wants you to live under condemnation, under guilt, under shame, under inferiority, under a sense of insecurity. He wants you to live in a place of separation from God. So that's part of his plot. That's part of his scheme. That's part of his strategy. Amen? Can you see that? It is the unveiling of the strategy of the enemy. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's after your peace. He wants you to be in turmoil. He don't want you to live in that place and in that recognition that everything has already been reconciled by the sacrifice of Christ. When you have problems, he wants you to see your problems. He don't want you in the midst of your problems to recognize, guess what? This too has already been reconciled, and this is just going to work together for good. I know in whom I have believed. The God of all peace will trample the enemy underneath my feet. The God, he don't want you to see that. He wants you to be, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? He wants you to be in turmoil. He wants to seal your peace. What else? So it says, above all, and then we could go on to the helmet of salvation and all of that. So above all, above it all, you better lift up that shield of faith. You better lift up that shield that says, I've got confidence in what Jesus has finished. I have confidence in the sacrifice. I have confidence with everything that he did with me and for me in death and in burial. I have confidence in the reality of this new identity and what was accomplished in resurrection. I have, because that's faith, confidence in the sacrifice. I have confidence in this place that I'm living in, this position of ascension. I have confidence in the name of Jesus that belongs to me. I have life through that name. I live whatever I do in word or deed, I do through that name. I have confidence in Christ in me, the hope of glory, the life of Christ that is in me. I have confidence in the word of God and the promises that are forever settled in heaven, and God, Christ himself, living in me to destroy the works of the enemy and to bring fulfillment to what he has already finished when I put it in my mouth and I speak it. So it says, you take this shield of faith. Take it, and I like to think of it now, of not just taking it, but take it and lift it up. Lift it up. And with that shield of faith, the scripture says what? You will quench what? How many? You will quench every fiery dart of the devil. Every one of them. You will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. So that shield of faith is not only defensive. It is very defensive. But it's also offensive. So it says fight the good fight of faith, that you might lay a hold on eternal life, that you might lay a hold on your new identity. I've got to finish, so I'm gonna end there, and I'm gonna skip, and I'm just gonna say this. In all of this, just where we are right now, it is that we must become awake to the new identity that we have. We must become awake. You must become awake to the new you and cleave it. You know how when you go and you get those, and you go and you get the yearbook when you went to school, and you go and you flip to the yearbook, who are you looking for? Amen? Well, look, this is your yearbook. Flip here. Flip these epistles and find who you are and then stick to it. You are the new you. Awake to that new you. Let your consciousness be set on the things above and be continually aware and conscious of who you are. Conscious of your position. Conscious, because this is where you live. Conscious of what you have. All of the inheritance is yours. All things are yours. Conscious of the nature of God. We didn't quite get there. Because the nature of God is the nature that you have right now. So the scripture says, strip off the old man with his deeds. And it says, be renewed. Be renewed in the very spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind after the knowledge of that new man, of that new identity that you have in Christ. And as you do that, what will happen? You will discover. You will discover your new identity. You will discover that the new you is absolutely perfect. Perfect, has perfect liberty. And it is a liberty that you and I can live here and now and in this earth. You see, all that you are in this new creation, man, all that you already are. He's not trying to become. He already is. But what we are doing is we are discovering who he already is. And that is why we pray that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding be open. But all that he is, he already is. He is not becoming. He already is. He is all of the things as we begin to talk about him. He is all of it. But we are discovering. We are discovering what he is, who he is, what he has. Are you with me? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Say, I like this discovery thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Oh, Rebecca, thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, I am a new creation. A new creature altogether. I'm part of the family of God. I have his DNA. I am of his type. I am in the God type. I have his nature. I'm born of his spirit. I'm born of his word. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old man is dead. And everything connected to him is dead and buried. So I declare by the authority of God's word, I am free from him, from his voice, and everything connected to him. I am dead to it. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you. I'm alive to you. I am a new creation. All things have become new. And this is where I live. I am conscious of who I am in my spirit. I walk in the spirit. I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but I walk after my spirit. Father, I'm asking you, fill me with the knowledge of your will. Fill me with the knowledge of who I am, the reality of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You can have a seat for a moment. Pastor Dad? Halamakosokolaba. Praise you, Jesus.
Please have a seat. Thank you, Pastor Ian. Thank you for the rich word, Father, for the Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance whenever we need to, which is at all times. We thank you for it. We cherish your word. We walk by your word. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the feast of the word today, edifying us, correcting us, instructing us, bringing us to a higher place in you. We give you praise. Amen. Before we leave, I want to remind you that we are so excited that we are able to stretch our ministry services by adding Bible studies by Zoom. So we can reach everyone who can come on location, people who in a different area zones, and people who cannot come in person also. And that's we are so exciting, because now we have almost 4-5 days a week we can have Bible studies that people can log into it. So the first one is on Tuesday evening at 7:30. The second one is on Wednesday evening at 7. And all our services now by Zoom. I made a mistake. We don't have anything on location now during the week except the Sunday service morning. Hopefully, in the near future, we can have Wednesday and Friday here. But in the meantime, as we start over again, Tuesday at 7:30, we have Zoom. It's about becoming trees of righteousness. It's really powerful. And on Wednesday at 7 p.m., it's a Bible study where you can have question and answer. It's not a specific topic, is how the Holy Spirit leads for Wednesday. Thursday at noon, 1 o'clock. If people can log in, some people can log in at 1 if they are not working, or people, if you have somebody in another country or in another, you can tell them about it, they can log in at 1 p.m. And it is also a Becoming Trees of Righteousness. And on Friday evening, we invite everyone to a Bible study, prayer meeting at 7 p.m. Spirit-led prayer meeting. So all of you are welcome. Now, all these Zoom meetings have an ID, so please connect with us to the church number by phone or by email or by text, and we'll be glad to give you the ID number. Now, if you are friends, our friends on Facebook, TLMHCA, or Ian Taylor, you can find the Zoom meetings over there. So please connect with us here and on live stream. We love you. We want to build one another and extend our grace to you. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. So that's for today. And welcome next Sunday also for the live stream. This meeting is a blessing to you. Share it with others. Put us on your social media. We appreciate that, because you are not spreading us. You're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ by the mission he's given us. Amen. Father, thank you for blessing us, your people, as we go. Surrounded by angels, covered by the blood, led by your spirit. What an awesome life we have in you. Thank you, Lord. As we go from this place, we are the light of the world. We are your gospel speaking and manifesting. We are the harvesters that Jesus wants us to go in his name and bring the harvest in. Let every word we say be a harvesting tool. Let every hand we lay on the people will be a harvesting tool. Let the word see you through us in Jesus' name.